What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 38 of the MMArcade podcast. Rob, bro, it's a huge week. UFC 300.
It is. And I laugh because every week I'm like, man, short episode. And now this one's so long, dude.
Not today.
We've cut pieces out. We've cut a lot of pieces out because the card is stacked from start to finish with absolutely premium fighters and premium fights. So let's get through this. You know, I just use MMA as a pretense to talk about gaming. I think they're starting to catch on, but let's do this. You wanted to say a big thank you, do you know?
Absolutely, dude. I mean, last week, especially after we pushed for it at the beginning of the episode, we reached 20,000 subscribers on the podcast, which is absolutely insane. So both of us really want to thank all of you for your support, all of your comments, your views, especially as, you know, there have been times we haven't been so consistent with episodes for one reason or another. You're still here after 38 episodes now, continuing to support us and watch the podcast. So thank you, honestly.
Big thank you from myself as well. 20,000 subs.
Yeah.
You know, for only episode 38 isn't a small hurdle. So yeah. I just want to say thank you very, very much for all the love and support you guys are giving us, especially even, and we can see that in the comments. We go through the comments regularly and, you know, everyone's just on the same team and it is so good to see, especially in a time when internet, I don't know, trolling and manners just isn't a thing yet. I feel like manners for the internet and for gaming, it's just, it hasn't caught up to humanity just yet. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the community. Thank you for all the, you know, all you guys that subbed and joined the team and just watch and comment nicely. You know, you guys make it worthwhile.
Yeah. The community that we've built here honestly is awesome. And next step, let's say 30,000 subscribers. If you are brand new here watching our UFC 300 predictions, please hit the like button, hit subscribe. But let's get right into it because it is going to be a pretty long episode in all likelihood. Oh, we're going to start off at fight number one. It is Deiveson Figueiredo against Cody Garbrandt. I'll give a bit of a breakdown for each fight so we know what we're working with. So Deiveson Figueiredo, 22 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw. He's coming off a win against Rob Font after he moved up in weight. Looked really good in that fight. We'll talk about that. Obviously, before that, he had nothing short of a war with Brandon Moreno. What was it? 4 fights with him. And then Cody Garbrandt, 14 wins, 5 losses. He's on a bit of a comeback recently. 2 wins, 1 against Brian Kelleher, another against Trevin Jones. Before that, he did lose to Kai Kara France and Rob Font. Rob, what is your prediction for this first fight for UFC 300?
Yeah, you know what? Okay, I like both fighters, right?
Yep.
But I got a bit of a soft spot for Cody. You know, I feel like he got done dirty against Dillashaw. Dillashaw in those fights because shortly after Dillashaw had his whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, timeout, if you would. And that was after he had lost to him. And I know personally, when you lose a fight via stoppage, you take that into the next fight. And that's, if we look at his record, when we look at the fights, because I saw those fights. If we look at those, you can kind of see he took that into the fight with him. And yeah, you can, on his record, you can see that. You can see the hesitance and then the polar opposite of just like biting down a mouthguard of just trying to, you know, dig in and rip in, which isn't always the smartest move. You know what I mean? And yeah, I just feel like him having these last couple of wins, especially his last fight, I felt like we saw, I think he's so talented. He's such a good fighter. He's so good at what he does. And to see him now building back that confidence and to go into these fights with Trevin Jones and Brian Kelleher and fight the way he did, it just makes me happy. It makes me happy because you see in those fights, he's, not much has changed in those fights than what he was doing previously. He just now has the confidence and the backing behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%. I think for both of them, this is a really good fight. Like on Deiveson Figueiredo's side, you know, he had that absolute war with Brandon Moreno. Pretty much, if one way you look at it, he had no choice but to move up because how was he going to keep fighting in that division? But he moved up. I was really impressed when he fought Rob Font. He just looked He was obviously bigger. He looked so bloody strong. And he was doing so much damage on Rob Font with those punches. And now Cody Garbrandt, again, on a bit of a comeback. He looked really impressive against Brian Kelleher. I think this fight, it could genuinely go either way. My bottom dollar bet, though, is that Figueiredo gets it done because he is so strong at the moment. We know that Cody's chin, unfortunately, isn't quite there anymore. So that's the way I'm currently leaning now with this fight.
But I feel like Cody's chin came more through his evasiveness, his eyes, his instincts, which derived from his confidence. As you see in the fights, like the more he wins and the more he has success, the better he looks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I do worry about Figueiredo's power in this fight because definitely he had the power a division lower and he's definitely increased that moving up. It's a better, I think it's a better weight division for him. But I can also see Cody just kind of floating on the outside, just pitter-pattering him, landing shots, moving, evading, because he is so smooth. He is so slick when he wants to be, like when he's on. You know what? I'm going to let my soft spot speak for me. I'm going to back Cody Garbrandt in this fight. I want to see him win. I want to see him.
If I was to ask you how that would go down, what is Cody Garbrandt's path to victory? Is it decision? Could he actually knock Figueiredo out?
I think he wins by decision if he wins.
Yeah.
I think he moves evasively because Figueiredo, whilst powerful, isn't a super light-footed fighter. He doesn't move around evasively. He doesn't try and be quick in and out and stuff. He's a powerhouse. Very fast and explosive, but he's a powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Garbrandt's kind of... he's evasive. He uses instincts to land shots. He throws awkward sort of punches. He does unorthodox rushes and pushes. So, I think if Garbrandt gets it done, which I'm hoping he does, he does it via decision.
Yeah, fair. For me, I think Figueiredo by knockout. I want to say late in the second. Let's see how specific
is. We should have like a little in-house multi going between you and I.
We should. And
winner get something, loser get something.
All right. In the comments below, you let us know how we should do this and we can keep a track of our predictions for this one. Maybe the start of something cool for this.
Yeah. Like loser gets hit by a car, something like that.
Settle down, right? Jesus Christ. I don't want to get hit by a car.
I'm in camp. I can't afford injuries.
Next up, we have Bobby Green against Jim Miller. Man, I'm looking forward to this fight so much. I just want to give both of these guys their props. Both of them absolutely deserves this. But Jim Miller, UFC 100, 200, and now 300. That's an insane thing to go through. So kudos to him. He deserves this. Bobby Green.
Pretty sure doesn't he have the highest finishes in...
something ridiculous like that. Yeah,
I think he's got the highest finishes or most wins or something like that.
So his wins, right? I think he has like more wins by submission than so many people in the UFC as a whole just have wins in general. Absolutely insane, his longevity in the UFC. So it's good to see him here. If we were to break down the stats, we got Bobby Green, 31 wins, 15 losses, and there's also a draw, no contest there. He's obviously recently coming off a pretty severe loss against Jalen Turner. He was knocked out there. But before that, he won against Grant Dawson. He won against Tony Ferguson. And before that, he had that no contest. But Jim Miller also won a bit of a streak as well. 37 wins, 17 losses, one no contest. He's coming off a win or two wins against Benitez and also Jesse Butler. Before that, he lost against Alex Hernandez. Rob, what is your pick for this fight?
Okay. Bobby Green, that last finish of his where he got finished, unfortunately.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Yep. It was the ref was kind of late to the show.
Oh my God, I remember that. That was insane.
Remember the ref was like, you die here. All right. Oh, I should laugh, really, right?
Laughing at the ref,
Yeah, at the decision of it all. It's like, and that was... That was a good showing from Turner though to show up late notice and just to get in there and look the way he did. But Bobby Green, I don't know, the way he fights, right? He has his days. Mm. So like some days he looks untouchable and just fly as hell, and then some days he gets caught, as we've seen. Jim Miller, though, mate, he's on the up and up at age 40. And I'm pretty sure he either has most wins in that division, or he has the most finishes in that division, or it's the UFC as a whole. He's got some sort of record, I know, at this point. But 40 years old, he's now back-to-back wins. Bobby Green's 37. Mm. And I think, you know what? I'm going to back Miller on this. I've got a thing for the old guard. Well, they're both kind of old guards, right? But Miller's the older guard.
Mm.
And I don't know. I like the way he fights, man. I like the way he gets in there and just has a dig, has a go. He uses any route he can to victory. Mate, and honestly, he's looked good lately. He's looked good. He looks in form.
Yeah. And I'll let you know this, in terms of the betting odds, Bobby Green currently is the favorite, which to me is a little bit, maybe not crazy, but it's a bit suspect because of how vicious that knockout loss was against against Jalen Turner. Yeah.
How long ago was it?
Dude, it wasn't that long ago. Jalen Turner's fighting on this card, right? So for him to turn around in the same length of time after losing like that, it was only a few months ago, yeah?
Yeah, I feel like it was.
I'm gonna pull it up now.
Right now.
Because especially...
It was December last year.
Yeah, 4 months. Not that long ago. And
5 months. 5 months.
And to get knocked out like that at his age, and again, that referee, now that I remember, let it go for way too long, I really worry as to how he's going to deal with that in this fight, especially against Jim Miller, who's powerful, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been having success, you know? Like I said, you take KO losses with you into the next fight. You do.
Yeah.
But
so I'm gonna say Jim Miller as well.
I've got Miller though.
Yeah.
I like Bobby Green. I do. But I think you know, I want to see the 40-year-old Jim Miller get another one in. Like I want to see 40-year-old Miller fight for a title, dude. Like, I'm for it.
Not in the lightweight division though.
I don't care.
Ain't no way. That's like the worst division.
I'm for it.
Worst division as in for him to try and fight for the title. But anyways, that is Bobby Green against Jim Miller. Both of us going for Miller. Next up, we've got Jessica Andrade against Marina Rodriguez at strawweight. Andrade, 25 wins, 12 losses. She's coming off a win against Mackenzie Dern via TKO. And then Marina Rodriguez, 17 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws. Also coming off a win against Michelle Gomez, but has a couple of losses before that. She's also beaten Yan Xiaonan, which is pretty cool. And Andrade has a loss against Yan Xiaonan. So that's a thing to note. Rob, if I was to ask you what your prediction was on this one, what do you reckon?
You know what? I'm going to go Andrade. I feel like she had that phase of kind of reckless fighting, and she's starting to tune it up a bit. I feel like she's starting to tighten the screws a little bit, keeping her mind clear a little bit more inside the octagon. So I'm going to back Andrade for this fight.
Well, she has to take it careful now. Like, she can't be reckless as she used to. I remember she used to go in and just cop it on the chin because threw bombs, and that was her path to victory. Right now, she absolutely can't do that. She's only 32, so she's not old, but I would still say she's definitely past her prime. I'm going to favor Rodriguez in this one. I think she's a good striker, has good combos, could even catch Andrade with a head kick as well. So that's another one that you and I differ on.
I've got a question for you, mate, because you said she's 32, past her prime.
Mm.
Does that mean, or maybe your opinion is different, is a woman's prime different to a man's?
No, I think it's specifically for Andrade, just based on she lost to Blanchfield, to Yan Xiaonan, and to Suarez, you know, all in a row. And I think that, to me, is what indicates that she's probably past her prime, right? As opposed to her age necessarily, because she's not old. Mm. Like, she should be in her prime, right?
Younger than I.
Yeah, she's young. So that's why I think maybe she's kind of like past the stage of where she was, you know, fighting or getting close to fighting for the title and whatnot. I don't know. No, I wouldn't say that it differs based on gender, though.
Fun, yeah.
I think it's definitely more her record and the losses that she had, for sure.
Mm.
So I'm going for Rodriguez.
I wonder if that is a thing, though. I'm sure there would be something there about prime, the difference between women and men. I'm not smart enough to talk about it, but
if you were to break down the stats,
I'm sure it's something. Like that. Yeah. Like there would be something there.
Well, then, literally later on this card, you have someone like Holly Holm at 42 still fighting. So,
I know. And like looking good doing it. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, let's we'll get there. Next up, speak of the devil, we mentioned him before, Jalen Turner against Moicano. We've got Turner. Obviously, I don't have his wins and losses here. Don't worry, I can pull that up. But he's coming off that very, very vicious win against Bobby Green. Absolutely knocked him out. Before that, though, he did lose against Dan Hooker. He lost against Matthews Gamera. Before that, won against Brad Riddle. But then we have Moicano. He won against Drew Dober, won against Brad Riddle. 18 wins, 5 losses, 1 draw. Specifically for Jalen Turner, I'll pull up his record now since I didn't have it. He's 14-7. Very, very interesting fight. Rob, what is your prediction?
You know what? I'm going to have to lean towards Jalen Turner. I think he's just looked sensational lately. Even the fights that he's lost against like Dan Hooker and Gamrot, you can see he lost split. They were close fights. And honestly, the judging could have ruled either way with both those fights. I just think he's looked real clean. I was especially surprised with the late notice turn up on the fight with Bobby Green. And then for him to look the way he did in that fight, he looked good. He looked really good. And that was short notice. So,
yeah,
I understand Moicano's going to bring a different fight than Green, obviously, because they're very different fighters. But, you know, top of my head, I'm going to go Turner. I've liked the way his striking has looked recently. I think it has been getting better. And like I said, his only 2 losses in the last 4 could have gone either way, really.
They were very close fights, and they were split decisions for sure. I'm trying to look at recently, the last time that Moicano was knocked out was against Fazeev back in 2020. That was by KO. And before that, he had a couple of TKO losses as well. So he absolutely has it in him to lose by knockout or to lose by TKO. That's absolutely Jalen Turner's path to victory. Mm-hmm. But if Moicano can engage in the grapple, he has good jiu-jitsu. I don't worry about Jalen, but I'm less confident that he's going to win this one, though he was very impressive on short turnaround against Bobby Green.
Yeah.
This is a hard one. I'm going to say Jalen Turner. I'm going to say Jalen Turner. No, you know what? No, I'm going to say Moicano. I've flipped it.
Just to be different.
I have to be contrarian, right? Like, we have to make this competitive. And I don't know, how impressed can you be with Jalen against Gamrot? When it came to the ground game, to the grappling and the wrestling, I don't know. I want to say Moicano.
Yeah, but
it was a close fight.
And he's slippery. He's very hard to lock down. Yeah, I understand Gamrot did put in that good work, but...
Well, he's tall as well. He has a big frame. So, like, he has that innate natural ability to try and get out of those situations. So, even if Moicano does take him down, he could easily get back up and just smack him. So... Yeah. I'm still sticking with Moicano.
That's good. We're on other sides. That's good. Turner, I got Turner, you got Moicano.
100%. Next up is Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez, featherweight bout. Sadiq Youssef, 13 wins, 3 losses. He is coming off against a loss on a loss against Edson Barboza. Before that, he has 2 wins, another loss previously against Arnold Allen. Diego Lopez, 23 wins, 6 losses. He's coming off against 2 wins, one against Sabatini, another one against Gavin Tucker. He did lose before against Movsar, but Movsar is doing what he's doing. He's amazing at the moment. Rob, who do you think against Youssef versus Lopez?
Mate, this is tricky, eh? Because this is the sort of fight I can see them both going in there and just loading up.
Yeah.
And it being like whoever catches each other first. Because Sadiq's such a heavy puncher, but so is Lopez. Mate, I don't know, honestly. This is anybody's bet.
This is hard.
You know, but I'm going to go Youssef. I'm going to go Youssef because I do think this is like a flip a coin moment.
I do think
they are just going to meet in the middle and throw bombs.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to go Youssef.
This card has a number of fights where you wouldn't want to bet on them at all. This is flip a coin stuff.
I just feel like if you just stand there and trade with Youssef, I feel like that's putting Youssef in the best possible position he can be in.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Youssef as well. I don't know if Lopez is going to be able to to knock him out. Maybe he does. I don't know. There's every chance too that, you know, after he knocks him down with a punch that he takes him on the ground. Yusuf, yeah, I'm saying Sadiq.
I can see him trying to, you know, the smart thing to do would be obviously to go under and try and get him to the ground. Because I think Sadiq Yusuf definitely doesn't look as favorable if it's like a more holistic approach to the fight, right?
Yeah.
But I think if Lopez just says, stuff it, like one of us is going down, I'm going to lean towards Yusuf.
Yeah.
So don't hold me to that, but that's my
pick. I agree with that. But speak of the other devil, Holly Holm against Kayla Harrison. This is very reminiscent of Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. So we've got Holly Holm at 42 years of age. She has 15 wins, 6 losses, 1 no contest. The recent one was a no contest, and then we have a win against Santos. Before that, she lost, and another win before that against Irene Aldana. Kayla Harrison, 16 wins, 1 loss. Her last win was against Aspen Ladd. Very interesting fight. Kayla Harrison's obviously the younger, clearly I think the much stronger fighter. Holly Holm, she's not going away. She seemingly keeps fighting in the UFC and is doing a pretty decent job at it, even at this age. Rob, what do you reckon?
I don't know. You know, Holly Holm looks so good.
Yeah.
She looks so good. And I understand she's getting on in age now, especially in the division. But she looks good doing it. I think if she keeps her at the end of her jab, uses her kicks well, doesn't let her get bullied like by Kayla, then I can see Holly Holm inching out a decision win.
Yeah.
But in saying that, if Kayla gets in close, starts using some real physique, and just that young hunger to take Holly Holm down, it could be a long night in the office for Holm. I'm going to go. You know what? Like I said, I like going with the old guard. I'm picking Holm again.
Yeah, I think for me on this one, it's Kayla's UFC debut. I think she's going to be stronger. I think she has every chance of getting in. She really does need to be careful of Holly Holm striking and her kicking. But if she can get him, slam her to the ground, I think she has every chance of submitting her. So I'm leaning towards Harrison, but this is one that I'm not confident on either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's Holm's got a lot of experience. And she I've seen her use that in fights like a lot of the time. She's more than willing to take people down when she can get it, and she's more than willing to just outstrike them when she can as well. So
yeah. So those are our predictions for that fight. Next up, I'm so looking forward to this one, man. Calvin Kattar against Aljamain Sterling. So this is Aljamain's debut at featherweight, moving up in weight. Calvin Kattar has 23 wins, 7 losses. He's coming off against 2 losses, though, against Arnold Allen due to his knee injury, and also Josh Emmett. Before that, he had a win against Giga and then another loss against Max Holloway. But Aljamain Sterling, 23 wins, 4 losses. He was obviously doing very, very well as the champ in the division until he lost to the now champ, Sean O'Malley. So before that, he beat Cejudo, he beat Dillashaw, he beat Piotr Jan, technically twice, but let's not count the first one. Rob, what do you think about this fight with Calvin Kattar and Aljamain Sterling?
Yeah, you know what? I think moving to featherweight for Sterling is a great move. I think he was massive as a bantamweight, and I can see him really just sitting into his own, maybe filling up that chin that, you know, lost him the belt against O'Malley a little with hydration and food. And, mate, Aljamain proved to everyone that he's championship caliber, championship 100%. Level. He beat him Piotr Jan the way he did. Dillashaw, Cejudo. Like, mate, those are very, very high-level fights. And Aljamain Sterling didn't just go in with the same game plan 4 times. He went in and he changed his game plan depending on his opponent, and he adapted and he used his wrestling against Cejudo. He took sometimes his opponent's strengths and threw it at him.
Yeah.
And I think he has the advantage against Kattar in terms of in just about the complete skill set. The only thing unknown factor that I don't know is actually how Sterling will look at featherweight.
Yeah.
And whether there will be a difference in size and strength. But I can't see that being a problem just because of how we saw how big he was coming into bantamweight. So I think he has the reach, the range, the use of his striking, the use of his wrestling and jiu-jitsu. I don't want to underestimate Kattar, but I think Sterling's got to be my pick for this one. I think he's proven to us that he is at that championship caliber, that championship level.
I completely agree. I'm going with Sterling as well. If you listen to Sterling talk about how hard those weight cuts were in his previous division, right now he's clearly much more comfortable. He walks around at a weight which is probably more in line with featherweight. I think he's going to be able to take that increased mass and do very, very well. Like he's so good in the grapple. He's so good at just moving around and taking people's backs. Mm-hmm. I think he can do that against Cater. The one thing that he needs to be careful of, and I think he hopefully anyways, he would have learned, you know, when it comes to that against Sean O'Malley, but he just needs to be careful that he doesn't get clipped because he can get clipped, especially in a higher weight class. I'm leaning towards Sterling though. I never want to bet against this guy because time and time again, he proves people wrong. Even though he didn't do that against Sean O'Malley, I think he can do that against Cater, especially because Cater has that knee injury. Who knows how he's going to be dealing with that? Because knee injuries, like how vicious can they be, especially in mixed martial arts? So those are our predictions for that fight. Next up, I cannot believe this is not on the main card. I cannot believe Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rakic at light heavyweight. Obviously, Jiří Procházka, 29 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw. He's coming off from the loss against Alex Pereira, the now champ. That was pretty vicious, TKO. But before that, he beat Glover Teixeira. He beat Dominic Reyes. He has a lot of wins in that division. We also have Alexander Rakic. Hasn't fought for a little bit now. I think it's a couple of years now. 14 wins, 3 losses. He lost against Jan Blachowicz it was a TKO knee injury, something like that. Before that, he won against Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith. What do you reckon about this one, Rob? Do you think Rakic is going to be rusty at all? And is Jiří Procházka going to bounce back? What do you reckon?
I definitely think there's a little bit of rust that comes with time off. As someone who's fought with huge breaks in between before, there's definitely a little bit of rust that seeps in. But it's generally speaking, it's not enough to make a massive difference in the overall result.
Right.
I will say that I think him having that break for his knee and just to get things sorted out, he probably didn't have a choice, right?
Yeah.
As we were just talking about the previous fight, knee injuries are pretty serious. Jiří, right, did lose against Alex. But he looked good up until he lost, okay? I think he had Alex hurt at some at a few stages in that fight.
Yeah.
But got carried away, rushed in a bit too willy-nilly and got caught because of it. I think he was looking really good and favorable up until that moment. Now, yeah, so I think it's very hard for me to bet against Jiří because there's so many times I think he's losing or about to lose or getting flogged and then he just comes back and wins.
Yeah,
he has an ability to land shots because of the unorthodox way he throws punches and throws combos and the way he does things. Yeah. I'm very, very curious to see how he goes into this fight. But, mate, I'm going with Jiří. I love watching him fight. He's crazy. He's so crazy. And I love it. I'm here for it.
I'm going to say something, and correct me if I'm wrong or not, but someone like Rakic, who hasn't fought in a little bit, has a bit of ring rust. Do you think that someone like that is going to struggle a bit more against such an unorthodox, crazy fighter like Procházka? Like if you fight against someone that fights like a regular ass MMA fighter, maybe that's a little bit easier because you know what to predict. But with Procházka, he punches you and elbows you out of freaking nowhere. Do you think he's going to struggle against that kind of combat if he hasn't fought in a couple of years?
It's hard to say because like you just said, you can't really get anyone to simulate Jiří. So it's not like he could be ready for it.
Yeah.
And it's not like anybody else in the division fights like him either. So it's not, even if you were fighting, you're not getting those looks.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll work in his favor because he hasn't had to deal with it yet. I don't know, but my pick's Jiří. I'm going to go Jiří with this one.
Yeah, my pick is Jiří as well. I think even if Rakic, you know, engages Jiří in the clinch, we've seen that Jiří is willing to fight however his opponent wants to fight. That fight against Teixeira absolutely prove that. But if I was to predict something, it would be Procházka knocking out Rakic for sure, maybe in the second round or possibly third. I see that first round being a brutal war though.
Yeah, so, I can see both dudes like kind of being on death's door at yeah, some point yeah. in the first round.
Yeah, they both have something to prove, man, right? Prochazka coming off that loss and Rakic trying to say that I'm back from injury. They both are on the, hopefully, the road to redemption, but let's see what happens with that. So this is the main event now, Rob, and we're actually in your division. Bo Nickel.
Can we just 2 minutes? I need to get past it, dude. Sorry, guys.
It's a long card, I understand. It was very funny. We were joking about this before. He's like, oh, these podcast episodes are easy for you to edit. You don't even edit out when I go to the bathroom. I don't. I leave it in here to prove a point. We stay here. We're here. We're ready to talk. Rain or shine, full bladder or not. I'm actually getting close to needing to pee as well. She saw I was drinking tea before. Now, I cannot believe, by the way, I'm just going to say this. I might not mention it to Rob. I cannot believe that Bo Nickel is fighting on the main card. I am going to ask him. I get that he's a rising star. I get that the UFC want to push him. And I get, but he only has 5 fights. And they have been dominant wins, submissions and TKOs. But I don't know, man. I really feel like, Prochazka and Rakic would have been such a better opener for the main card, for the pay-per-view segment of UFC 300. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Rob, I'm going to ask you the question that I was just talking about. Can I ask you, before we get into our predictions for Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage, do you think that this fight should be on the main card? As opposed to Prochazka and Rakic or even another fight.
Yeah. Well, as enemies of mine, due to them being in the middleweight division, I'm going to say no. but I don't think it should be above Jiří and Rakic. I feel like that's almost disrespectful just because, Jiří was the champ.
I agree.
he didn't defend the belt, but he had the belt at something. They call out former light heavyweight champion before he walks out. So I don't know. I understand Bo Nickel is kind of like, what is it? What would you call it? They're cultivating Bo Nickel to be a superstar in that division. And I understand they're trying to cultivate that, but I don't know.
I'd even say that Figueiredo and Garbrandt should be higher in the pecking order. Those are two former bloody champs.
I feel like let's not forget people's accomplishments.
Yeah.
Understandably, you have your ups and downs in this sport, but they were former champions. Show some respect.
I totally agree with that. But let's get into the prediction. So Bo Nickel, 5 wins, 0 losses. Still pretty green, but he's been very, very dominant with his wrestling game, his submission game. He's beat Woodburn, Pickett, Beard, Borrego. Cody Brundage is on a bit of a streak as well. 10 wins, 5 losses, though. He just beat Reese by KO. It was a pretty vicious slam. He also had that DQ win against your teammate Malkoon,
we can't call that a win.
No, you can't call that a win.
All right. I'm going to be filthy here, right? Now, I have nothing against either of these guys or anybody else in the middleweight division. Okay.
Go on.
It's not personal. Let me clarify that. Okay. I don't know these guys outside of fighting any more than I know a stranger. Cody Brundage, though, that DQ was bullshit. It was bullshit. Like, he wanted a way out. He took a way out, took a W for it. It was bullshit. All right. Yeah. Bo Nickel, let's not beat around the bush. Look at the names he has won against and tell me which one of them you know. Right? And he's on the main card ahead of Rakic and Figueiredo, dude, and Garbrandt. Come on, man.
Yeah. I agree.
I feel like they've done – I don't know how this happened. I don't know. They snuck this in. They've done dirty to the other guys. Bo Nickel's getting, cultivated hard. You look at the names he's fighting. You look at the periods in which he's fighting in, the areas in which he's fighting in. He's getting cult. He's getting nurtured. He is. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with that, right? It happens in every sport, but I'm not going to sit here singing his praises. Wouldn't sing his praises anyway because I'm a middleweight as well. Mm. But both of those guys, screw yous. No, not personal. Not personal.
Yeah. Okay. But if you were to give a prediction, who do you think is going to win?
Easy. Easy.
I think he's going to run through now, Brundage.
Also, hold on, quickly clarify. I don't want to I'm not dismissing their abilities either. I think Bo Nickel is like deserves the hype he's getting because of his skill set. Dude's got like phenomenal wrestling and he's boxed his entire life. He's going to be a nightmare, okay?
Yep.
For a lot of people. Brundage, still filthy about the DQ win against Malcoon. Like, Jacob was bashing him and dude wanted a way out. Like, he hasn't earned my respect yet in terms of mixed martial arts. But Bo Nickel, easy. I see Nickel walking over him.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say about this. Bo Nickel for sure to win that one. But next up, man, one of the fights of the night, in my opinion, or at least let's say the potential fight of the night, Charles Oliveira, Armen Sarukian at lightweight. Charles Oliveira, of course, 34 wins, 9 losses, but so many wins recently if his name isn't Islam Makhachev. So he won against Benil Dariush, although at this stage you and I were talking about it, he seems to be a bit of a punching bag in that division, unfortunately. Before that, he lost against Makhachev via submission. And we have Gaethje he beat, we have Poirier he beat, Chandler he beat, like however many fighters he's beaten in that division, it's crazy. But Armen Sarukian is another one of these up-and-comers. It's the constant story in the lightweight division, right? We have an up-and-comer coming up against one of the old guard. We had Poirier against Benoit Saint-Denis, we had Gaethje against Fazeev, and now it's Sarukian against Oliveira. Arguably though, Sarukian is probably the best of the up-and-comers. 21 wins, 3 losses. He beat Dariush as well. He beat Silva. He beat Damir. He did get a loss against Matheus Gamrot, and I feel like that needs to be talked about, especially against Charles Oliveira. But Rob, what do you think about this? And especially, what do you think about Charles Oliveira being such an underdog in this fight in the betting odds?
Yeah, it is crazy to me because you look at the trajectory and just like, if you look at Oliveira's like last 5-6 fights, right?
Yeah.
He's only getting better. Understandably, he lost against Makhachev. But, mate, I don't know. If Makhachev wasn't as good as he is on the ground, Oliveira gets dropped, probably gets up and wins.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I haven't seen him not get dropped in a fight.
He always does, right? Yeah.
Dude, he gets dropped and then gets up and bashes a guy. He just does it. And I don't know. Mate, he looks so confident against Dariush, especially coming off that loss against Makhachev. He beat Gaethje, he beat Poirier, he beat Chandler, I think, before that. I can't see it on the list, but he's sensational and he's only getting better. He's a guy that I feel like has really started to fit the shoes and he's figured out what he's good at and how he can get what he wants. And that's what he does in every fight, just about. He's got the complete skill set. Understandably, Sarukian is a demon in the division and he is the current hype train. But, mate, that's an easy pick from me, especially with the amount he's paying, dude. Oliveira, I got Oliveira all day. I just think, I wouldn't count him out at any stage. I'm almost happy they're counting him out because he's such a good underdog. Like, that is such an easy pick from me.
Yeah, look, and I've talked up Sarukian a lot. I really like him as a fighter. In previous fights, I've been impressed. Like saying I was impressed against Dariush, I absolutely was, but now Dariush has had the losses that he's had. So I think it was the last fight that Dariush has had as well. So after he lost against Oliveira, but still before that, he's had pretty significant wins. But I do want to mention that loss against Gamrot. I need to rewatch it. I haven't watched it in a while, but that could potentially be a path to success for Oliveira. I just want to say though, Oliveira has the record that he does. Why he's such an underdog, I don't know. I give all the props and all the respect to Sarukian, but I think this division specifically, you do not bet against the old guard, right? You never do because they always pull it out. So
it's hard.
It's hard. It does.
Like I'm looking at the Unibet odds and Charles Payne $2.75.
Are you crazy?
$1.45, dude. Like that is
$2.75.
That's crazy odds. It should be. Honestly, I feel like it should be paying evens at least.
Yeah.
But you get this though. Previous fight, Bo Nickel $0.04 to Cody Brundage's $13, dude. That's so big.
That's crazy.
They put that on the main card. Oh man.
I tell you what, though, easy $5 bet. Why not? Give it a run. Give it a chance.
Oh, dude.
But I think it's easier for us on this one. We are both going to Oliveira, but not by any means is this going to be an easy fight at all. It's going to be a really, really tough fight for Oliveira. And I think the thing that he needs to be careful of is getting dropped and engaging on the ground with Sarukian. Of course, Oliveira is amazing with his jiu-jitsu, but if he does get dropped, I think Sarukian showed against Makhachev especially that he can hang with the best of them when it comes to that. So he needs to be careful.
Dude, if Oliveira gets dropped, he gets better. He gets like a level up bonus.
He did it against Makhachev, right? He has a limit. He has an upper limit.
Makhachev jumped on him, right?
Well, so would Sarukian. Sarukian would do that as well. I'm not saying that I think Sarukian would win, mind you, but it's not going to be easy for him by any means. So next up we have one of the title fights, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway for the lightweight BMF title. Is the BMF title technically a lightweight belt or is it just a whatever belt? I don't know anymore. Justin Gaethje, 25 wins, 4 losses. He obviously recently beat Dustin Poirier by knockout. He beat Fazeev. Before that, he lost to Oliveira, but he did beat Chandler before that as well.
Have you noticed as well, like the BMF belt is only in the lightweight division as well?
Well, that's the question that I'm asking. Is it technically a lightweight belt or does it happen to be one because of how it started?
I don't know.
Who cares? Max Holloway, 25 wins, 7 losses. Before, he's obviously beaten the Korean Zombie. He beat Arnold Allen. Before that, he lost to Alexander Volkanovski, which is, you know, a clear, understandable one. And before that, he beat Yair Rodriguez, but he is fighting in the weight class above him. What do you reckon, Rob? Gaethje or Holloway?
Yeah, I like both guys a lot.
Same.
Right? A lot of guys. Not a lot of guys. I like both guys a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean towards Gaethje because I just really like Gaethje. I really like Holloway too, man. This is killing
me. It's a hard one.
But I don't know. Gaethje has I have a soft spot for Gaethje. I love seeing him fight, dude. He makes me happy when I see him fight.
Yeah.
It makes me. And yeah, I think if we look back at Holloway's last go at lightweight when he fought Poirier, you saw the size was a problem. You saw the size and the impact of Poirier's punches affected Max more than the other way around.
Yeah.
Max has put on size for this fight. He's gone about it with a much better approach than that last time.
He looks big, bro. He looks big.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so tricky. But I'm going to go Gaethje again. I like the way he throws. I can see this being just like a real rock'em sock'em type fight.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of hitting each other, like for the start to finish. They're just hitting each other, and then Gaethje wins via decision. Now that is over 3 rounds. I think this is going to be a 5 round fight.
I was
going to
mention. I think this is 5. Yeah,
I assume because it's for that BMF belt. And I think over 5 Holloway wins. I think if they rock 'em sock 'em for 5 rounds, I think Holloway kind of is Holloway's output out. Trump's Gaethje's maybe, but in saying that,
I think his output
Holloway's
will,
also
for sure. Yeah,
but Holloway's also moving up, and the weight matters. Weight affects output. It affects cardio. Dude, this is the toughest one to pick in the whole night. I think
it really is. I think you're right in saying that Max Holloway will probably have more output, but Justin punches harder. Even if he punches less, he's going to...
I'm going to go Gaethje because I think over 5 rounds, Gaethje's leg kicks will start being noticeable. Gaethje has probably the best leg kicks in the game, in the game, I reckon. He fires them from real tight. They're sneaky. There's no tell, and they hurt. You see, he stopped so many people with just leg kicks. Holloway gets leg kicks. Leg kicked. He does.
Yeah.
And I think over 5 rounds, if they're both punching each other's head in, I think the leg kick's going to be the thing that kind of slows Holloway down perhaps. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to find avenues, to be honest, because I have no idea here. I'm going to go Gaethje though. I love both guys, but gun to my head, Gaethje.
I'm pretty sure this is 5 rounds. I'm going to assume that it is. Let us know in the comments if we're wrong on that. But I'm going to go Gaethje as well. I think he is just going to be a bit too strong against Holloway, especially in this division in a higher weight class. But Holloway is not going to give up. Like, he's going to go the entire bloody fight. And I think Gaethje even said that this is like Holloway's not going to get knocked out. The ref is going, or the doctor is going to have to stop this fight because I'm going to do that much damage against Holloway. And I absolutely see that happening, especially with his punches and with his kicks. Holloway will be there for as long as he bloody can until his body gives out on him. I see that happening.
Oh, so who'd you pick?
I think Gaethje as well.
Okay. I never pick draws, but if I was going to pick one, this would be the fight to do it.
Interesting. Okay. Draw, you reckon, at the end of it?
I reckon it could be. I reckon it could be.
I mean, look, judging lately has been so bloody crazy. Anything is possible, man. I don't think this is going to end in a knockout either way. I think it's going to go the distance or unless the doctor stops the bloody fight. Yep.
But Max is paying $2.50, though.
That's a decent bet.
To Gaethje's $1.50. So
that's a decent. And how long ago was the Holloway fight against Poirier? It was like 5 years, right? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I think he's going about it better with the weight, as you said.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's going to do better, but is he going to do better than Gaethje, who's one of the hard? Everyone keeps saying that he's one of the hardest hitters in the division, or let alone the entire of the UFC, pound for pound. I don't think you can see past Gaethje for this one.
Yeah, no.
So second one, we've got the co-main. I think this is being labeled, but Zhang Weili against Yan Xiaonan at strawweight for the title. Zhang Weili, 24 wins, 3 losses. She has a string of victories at the moment against Lemos and Carla Esparza as well. Yan Xiaonan, 2 wins off the trot. She has 17 wins, 3 losses. She just beat Andrade by KO. She also beat Mackenzie Dern, who we mentioned before. Interesting one, Rob. I think there's a clear victor here, but who do you think is going to win this one?
Yeah. Oh, it's tricky. I think Zhang Weili is the favorite for a reason.
Yeah.
I think she's sensational. She's got power and aggression and size and strength and athleticism. Yeah. And to trump Yan, she's got experience, which I think will play a role over 5 rounds coming in as the champion. Mm. I'm gonna go Weili. I think
same.
Even the fight she's lost, I've been like, really? Like how?
Well the one against Nama Yunus,
right?
She's
aggressive as hell.
That was a very, very close fight. Yeah.
I like the way she fights. I like the aggression she brings into it. She's got whack in her hands and she fights very calculated.
Mm.
So, I think she's really displaying those championship tendencies and qualities. Yeah. So I got Weili.
Yeah, same as well. I think Weili is better than Xiaonan in pretty much every department, whether it's striking or kicking, whatever it might be. So Weili for the both of us. But now the main event, Alex Pereira, the champ against Jamahal Hill, who never technically lost the title. Light heavyweight bout. Alex Pereira, of course, 9 wins, 2 losses. He beat Jiří Procházka via TKO. He beat Blachowicz, but that was a much closer decision. Many people thought it should have gone the other way. I say many people. I think more people thought Pereira won, but it was still a little bit debatable. Before that, he obviously was fighting in your division, Rob. He had a loss against Adesanya where he lost the title, but he also beat Adesanya to get the title before that. Jamahal Hill got the title in this division by beating Glover Teixeira. He has 12 wins, 1 loss, but he had to give up the title because of a very severe Achilles tendon injury. Before that, he beat Thiago, he beat Johnny Walker, he beat Jimmy Crute. This is an interesting one, Rob. What do you reckon for the main event?
Yeah, it's tricky because I feel like I start every one of my rants with
it's tricky. It depends.
I say the same thing every time. Sorry.
It matters though. It's relevant here.
You know what? I would say Alex Pereira
is the
more technical striker, but he gets hit by unorthodox strikers. And we saw that with Jiří. And in my opinion, he got hurt in that fight as well. Granted, he still won because he's so experienced in those striking exchanges and in striking as a general.
Mm.
He can fight rocked. He knows how to do it. He's done it 100 times. Dude's had so much fight and he's so experienced in that field. But Jamahal Hill, I think, brings an X factor into this fight. He has serious power.
Yeah.
He stopped a lot of guys like cold in their tracks with his hands. And he's bringing that unorthodox striking to the table.
Mm.
Oh, how that looks so. I can see Pereira just chopping his legs, just chipping away the way he does. He's such a technical striker and he understands that fights are won with leg kicks and body shots. He does so well at doing that. Mate, who are you going for? Let's start with you, mate.
Mate, I want to say Pereira because I think even if Jamahal Hill didn't have that Achilles tendon injury, right? He tore it or whatever it was. That is enough to take a lot of people out completely from fighting or any sport, right? So even without that, I would still be worried for him with Pereira's calf kicks. They come out of nowhere. They're so bloody strong. But absolutely, Pereira is going to be targeting that bloody ankle. He's going to be smacking Jamahal Hill on the leg constantly over and over and over. And we know that Jamahal Hill doesn't really have good footwork anyways. Is he really going to be able to check these kicks? I don't think so. And then I think Pereira, because of that, is just going to take the legs, you know, out under Jamahal Hill and then knock him out. I think it's going to be as simple, maybe not as simple as that, but that's the way that I'm envisioning it. So for sure, Pereira to win this one for me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Look, Jamahal Hill's talking a big game. He says he's going to knock him out. He's going to knock Pereira out.
Yeah, because I think Jamahal Hill has that right to talking a big game. I think his resume speaks for itself in a sense. And he didn't lose the title either, did he? He had to relinquish it. Mate.
You're torn on this one. This is probably not one you bet on either because it could absolutely go either way.
And I think I'm talking to them both via interviews tomorrow.
Oh wow, really? Okay.
So I don't know if I want to lean to one direction and have to speak to them tomorrow and explain myself. Like I don't want that, and I'm sure they don't want that either.
Should we flip a coin for you, Robs? So you don't have to give an answer.
Deemed to watch it. You know what? I'm going to sit out on this one, and I'll put my pick. In the Discord, the MMRK Discord later, so that everyone can see I'm on the straight. So I just didn't pick the winner, but I think Pereira would have to be the more textbook technical striker. I think his leg kicks and his setups to his hooks are going to be very much in play this fight, and I think the leg kicks especially are going to give Jamahal Hill a problem. Now Jamahal Hill's unorthodox striking and just sheer power factor is going to be a threat to Pereira.
Yeah.
I think if the fight goes past the first round, I would lean towards Pereira, perhaps. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say that for now. And I'll put my pick in the Discord. I can't pick a prediction and then talk to these guys tomorrow with a clear conscience.
That's fair.
Gonna be a banging fight.
All right. Well, look, if you aren't following us or joining the Discord, it's in the description below. You can find the link there. So keep an eye out there for Rob's eventual answer after he talks to them. But Rob, that is UFC 300. It took us over 50 minutes to freaking get through this card, but there were so many fights to talk about. For the last two segments, we are going to breeze past them as smoothly as we can. Let's talk about what we're watching, playing, or reading on your side. Rob, what have you been doing this week?
Can I quickly just make a disclaimer on our predictions and on our things? We're very much conversational. We're very much tongue-in-cheek with it all, and this is only our opinions on the fights. Okay, I understand sometimes, like I see in the comments, you'll get some fanatical zealot of a fighter that I just smack talked. And just relax, okay? None of this is as serious as it is probably to yourself, okay? We're all just having a discussion and chat here. There is no hill in this predictions episode that I'm willing to die on, okay? And there's been 100 times you guys have put some sort of tidbit or fact in the description, in the comments, where I look at it and I go, you know what? You're right. My opinion has changed. I am wrong too often. Okay. So we're just having a talk. We're just having a discussion and we're all just having fun. And I think I'm just putting the disclaimer out there now after we've done it all, just for the newer listeners, because I do feel like the community we have formed around the podcast, they understand that. They've been around since day dot, where I've already said all this before. And they all understand. We're tongue-in-cheek. We're just making a laugh. And everybody's just having a good time.
For sure. And I've always said that I'm a self-admitted casual of MMA. Like, I can't speak to all those technical aspects. I just watch what I watch and I give an opinion. So I think that's what also what helps leads to the conversations that you and I have, you know?
Yeah. And like, just to put an exclamation point on it, the other day I was going through the comments and as it does, like my finish rate got put up and then everybody's having a go at me saying I can't finish anything. But the first comment was some guy put down, Rob can't finish a 4-ounce can of Sprite. I couldn't help but laugh. It hurt. Okay. It's still razor blades to my heart. Okay. I'm trying. These dudes are slippery and I miss. But it was a good one. That was clever. I'll pay that. Dude, you know who you are who put it up there.
Some people.
My dad got a laugh out of it.
Your dad saw it too.
He's the one that told me about it.
That's freaking funny, man. Honestly, some of the comments that I've received on YouTube, even though they're clearly insults, are some of the funniest things that I've received. On a video of mine on my channel the other day, someone said I look like the default Fallout 4 character creator, and I didn't laugh. I should have laughed harder because the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. So disrespectful.
Great, yeah, but like when it's done in chun and cheek, you know, some it's clever. It's all you can do is appreciate it. Who are you enough to get butt hurt by things like that?
I completely agree.
You think if you get butt hurt with those sort of things, you think too highly of yourself, man.
It was so clever, dude. And I'm going to take that a run with it from now on. Next up, we have what we're watching and playing and reading. Rob, do you want to go first this week or should I?
Mate, I haven't had too much time to play anything. Mm. Dragon's Dogma has taken a back seat ever since the reset and I started playing Pure Mage. Mate, Mage, I'm not going to say sucks because it's like Sorcerer is strong, but I don't know. It's like not strong enough.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not super fun right now. As well as I don't know if I want to be a dude covered in a bed sheet running around sort of thing.
Fair enough.
I think wearing full plate armor, wearing a shield and a sword is just cooler. Mm. So I'm kind of struggling with my class, if you would. Mm. But yeah, I haven't had a ton of time to play it. Because it, yeah, I think I want to start again, just pure warrior. I'm thinking about doing a run, no mage.
Really?
Four sword and boards and just live off the land with herbs and consumables.
Yeah.
It sounds fun. You know, a different way to play sort of thing.
Do you know what I think they need to introduce in Dragon's Dogma 2? I keep forgetting the term, but where you can just
wear whatever. Hardcore mode.
No. I mean, for you, absolutely. But in talking about the attire that you wear, yeah, obviously you have your freaking mage or sorcerer's robes that give you the buffs, but allow you, is it? Transmog, where you can just wear whatever, visually. I think they should do that because who cares
I read an interview with the developer on that, and if you have a look, the stats aren't enough to really justify wearing one over the other. You really don't need a, and he did this purposely so that you don't really need a min-max your armor. Because a lot of dudes in the first game min-max their armor, but the armors are so close to each other in terms of stats of different looks that it doesn't matter that much. But
for you it does.
I don't know.
You're going to min-max and you know you will.
Well, no. Yeah, but the max armor is always a heavy plate, dude.
Yeah.
It's always heavy plate. I love that. But fair. I've been reading more than I have been playing anything. I've been reading. I said this last episode and tell me in the comments below if you guys jumped on it. It's called We Hunt Monsters. It is a sensational book.
Cool.
Any book that truly captivates, truly illustrates a dude that's lived for like several hundred years and can really portray that and what that would look like, it gets a tick from me, right? It's just a really cool book. If you like overpowered characters and monster hunting and that sort of jazz, it's just cool. And lately I've been into like superhero books. Mm-hmm. So they're cool. It's different, but they're cool. What about yourself?
So I recently have you heard of Stellar Blade, the PS5 exclusive?
No.
So they have a demo out on PS5 and it's releasing this month. I gave it a go. plays very similar, and maybe because I just literally played it, but it's very similar to Final Fantasy VII, the remake, for instance, where, you know, it's action adventure, third person, you're walking around. Like, honestly, I got such Final Fantasy VII vibes, and I didn't know how I was quite feeling about it until, if you played on normal mode over story mode, by the end of the demo, you have this kind of like challenge boss, and it was actually some difficulty to it. Like, you can't just like go in there, hack and slash, and feel like you're going to win. You have to learn how to dodge. You have to learn how to parry. And I can't quite get the handle of it in Stellar Blade. It's very, people that have played the demo will know what I mean. It's very tricky. But once you do, that boss fight really showed to me that I could actually enjoy this game when the full thing comes out. Especially after the boss fight, it showed like a little reel of the like someone with a higher character playing through the rest of the game and all the different abilities and skills that you eventually get and the other bosses that you fight. I think this game would be a lot of fun. I would call it probably a harder Final Fantasy VII if you like that style of game. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time with it for sure. I think you might even like it, Rob, for those boss fights.
Yeah, it sounds cool. You brought something up that reminded me. Like, I'm thinking about playing Dragon's Dogma again as a warrior.
Mm.
But, you know, I always feel jealous of like the parry gods.
Elden Ring and
Sekiro, like dudes that just like parry and look cool doing it. Like, I saw a highlight reel of someone, a warrior playing, fighting against a Minotaur, and the dude was parrying his charge, just making the Minotaur look like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And with perfect parries, the guy was just playing with everything. And I was just thinking, like, wouldn't it be fun if I dedicated an entire run to just being a parry god warrior?
Your timing has to be so good, though, especially in Dragon's Dogma 2. You can't lock on or anything, so you need to face the right way and be perfect with timing.
Yeah, but like, I feel like, especially because it's only versing like monsters and things like that, like computer, you'll get used to the timing eventually. Yeah. I think I might try and be a parry god, and you'll find out how that went next week.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that's what, like, if anyone's going to play Stellar Blade, for instance, on the normal difficulty, because I don't know if the story mode when you play the full game has any of those bosses. I don't think it actually does. But if you're playing a normal mode and you're going through those bosses, you're going to have to become very, very good at parrying and dodging. And there's a few different skills that you can get to help you in that regard. So I think there's going to be a core community of people that really do like the game and hopefully get a review code for it. I'm keen to play it. So that is coming out later this month, and that's what I've been playing, man. So last segment, after a very, very long podcast already, we've got viewer questions. If you have any viewer questions, of course, let us know in the comments below. We always go back to the back catalogue of viewer questions that we've received over the episodes and over the life of the podcast. But first up, we've got Atlanta98 says, I assume you guys are going to be watching the Fallout TV show. How are we feeling about it? Excited, concerned, cautiously optimistic. Most video game adaptations to TV don't pan out so well. I hope it doesn't disappoint. Rob, are you going to be watching the Fallout show?
Mate, I love how you put that down, cautiously optimistic, because that is exactly how I feel.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because I want to love it, but you know, like he said, a lot of the game adaptations aren't great, or they don't just hit the right note, okay? Like, it's such – think anybody that plays video games understands how games make you feel. And I feel like if a TV show doesn't make you feel that, it's going to be hard to connect, you know, but cautiously optimistic.
So there's been a few people that have already watched the first couple of episodes. I haven't, but the reviews, at least from those episodes, are looking pretty good. And from what I've seen so far, they're really – trying their best to remain as authentic as possible to Fallout. The thing with Fallout is it has such a unique tone and theme to it, right? You really have to have this right mix of, you know, desolism and waste, the wastelanding feel, and just the craziness of the things that you can encounter, like whether it's people using chems or dying or whatever it might be. But tying that in with comedy and making it work, that's the special sauce of Fallout. So translating that to the screen is going to be the big question, how well they can do that. From what I've seen, I'm definitely optimistic. I think they're doing a pretty good job with it, especially because the main guy behind it, Jonathan Nolan, who's the one that approached Todd Howard for it, he's like a big Fallout fan. He's genuinely played the game. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It releases only in a couple of days. So let's see.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Next up is at Hyper. Another question for Rob. What Final Fantasy Tactics game did you say was your favorite again? Was it the PSP version?
It was definitely the PSP version. And I played more time on... Actually, probably by the end, I played about both. But I started on PlayStation and went to PSP. And the PSP version, because it had a multiplayer function. You could do missions together and you could... missions together, or you could fight each other, and my brother played it as well, so it was definitely the PSP version.
Yeah, sweet. Next question is from...
I'm waiting for them to remake, because they're on Steam.
Are they remaking?
I'm hoping. I don't know. But they have started remaking those older games, like Ogre Tactics just came out, which was kind of like the predecessor to Tactics. So there's hope.
Yeah, there's been a lot of remakes lately, so I think you might get it. But next up, we've got at Lucas Gregory 6375. Question for you guys. Who is your favorite UFC fighter of all time? I don't mean who you think is the best, just the one you love the most. Win, lose, or draw. I don't think you've been asked this question. Well, look, obvious answer is I'm going to say you, because that's the clear answer.
Right answer.
Well, no, but the genuine, and this is not me BSing, like, you know, when you and I met, when I worked at Bethesda, that was like, I always kept an eye on UFC and MMA, but I was never really in it or into it. And then obviously met you, and then that's when I really threw myself into the world. So for sure, I would say you, but if I couldn't say you, if that was the rule, I would probably say GSP after that. I really like GSP. I really like the way that he fought. I really like the way that he goes about things, and even
big
now.
Thunderstorm over here. Sorry, barely.
Is it raining over there?
Oh, it's thunderstorming. It was crazy. I'm expecting my power to go out. So if my power cuts out, peace.
We're almost at the end. We're almost there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm going to say Gaethje, dude. I'm going to say Gaethje. He's just such a character to like.
Yeah.
He really is, especially because, like, what you see is what you get. I've met him several times, a lot outside of fighting. And he's just such a cool dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's just such a cool dude. Actually, no. Oh, yeah, maybe. Him or Dariush.
I thought you were going to say Dariush. Yeah, okay.
Dariush as well, outside of it. And he is such a genuine human being. Like, he's just such a cool dude to hang out with.
So you trained with him, right?
There's a lot of fighters.
Yeah.
I did train with him last fight week.
Yeah, nice.
He's just such a cool dude.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. But then obviously all my teammates, like Jacob is in the UFC and he's my teammate, like he's my blood brother. So
yeah,
I would say him above all, really.
For sure.
Bam Bam's a lot of fun too. There's too many. Sorry, can't pick one. Yeah, Bam Bam's sick, dude. I really like Bam Bam.
Yeah. And the last question is from at Jafar Hassan 6164, who is a member of the channel. So thank you so much for becoming a member. So we'll include your question here. Love the podcast, guys. Question for Rob. We know Johnny has mentioned the Weasel MMA who breaks down fights and fighters. Would you ever take into account what YouTubers like this say about tendencies you may have or exploits you on yourself or on your opponents?
Ooh, no. Hold on, baby. Hold on. I'm finishing up. Kids at home. No, I don't think I would. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of those breakdown guys.
Fair.
And I don't like it. No. Out of here, bud. Over there.
I don't think she'll appear on there because the camera's cropped. So
yeah. And I have heard the times I have listened to some guys talk about how I fight or certain things that I like doing or why I do certain combinations the way I do them, they're wrong. A lot of the time they're wrong.
Okay. No, that's fair enough. You're in the best place to say that, right?
Yeah. I don't know how much you can take from those guys. Now, that is not to say that I wouldn't listen to any of it. You know, maybe they say something and I'm like, wow, that's a truth nugget right there that I just scored on, right? It's just that, like, I don't personally go out looking for this sort of stuff.
Well, you don't have the time to, right? Like, I think that's the biggest thing.
I'm a very hands-on learner. So yeah.
That's fair. Well, that was the last question of episode 38 for UFC 300. I was about to call it episode 300. Not quite yet, but that was a long-ish episode. Not too bad, though, Rob. We're almost at an hour 10.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, that was a long episode.
I think we were worried.
No, but yeah, again, I just want to say thank you very much to all the subscribers.
Yeah.
We hit 20,000. Next stop, who knows, right? I want one of those silver things in your background. And I'm sure you want two.
Absolutely do. I want to hang on it. You know, eventually, I want a gold one. I want us to reach a million and we get a freaking gold one. Yeah, that's the plan.
This is the avenue. You guys make this avenue fun. And I just want to say thank you again. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe for the boys.
Yep.
Tell your friends. Tell your mum. I don't know.
And we'll see you next week after watching UFC 300. Take care, guys.